This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. Community Update this week, we'll take a look at the Presidential Exploratory Committee involving South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg and his prospects as a potential candidate for President of the United States. Buttigieg announced this week the Exploratory Committee for a 2020 presidential bid. The announcement came Wednesday morning in a video and email to national media outlets.
The show in Washington right now is exhausting. The corruption, the fighting, the lying, the crisis, it's got to end. The reality is there's no going back, and there's no such thing as again in the real world. We can't look for greatness in the past. Right now, our country needs a fresh start. I'm Pete Buttigieg. I'm the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. When I arrived in office at the beginning of this decade, the national press said that our city was dying. People on the outside didn't believe our city had a future.
We propelled our city's comeback by taking our eyes off the rearview mirror, being honest about change, and insisting on a better future.
You know, I belong to a generation that is stepping forward right now. We're the generation that lived through school shootings, that served in the wars after 9/11, and we're the generation that stands to be the first to make less than our parents unless we do something different.
We can't just polish off a system so broken. It is a season for boldness and a focus on the future.
Good leadership brings out the best in us. The job of a leader is to call us to our highest values.
We stand for the better America that we know we can be. That's our message. It's not even complicated.
There's a new generation of voices emerging in our country, walking away from the politics of the past and ready to deliver on our priorities. There is no again in the real world. That's not a bad thing. We're ready for a fresh start.
We stand proud for our values. Let's go show the world. Thank you.
At a Washington, D.C. press conference later on Wednesday, Buttigieg took questions about a series of issues and his reasons for running.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that I'm not like the others. A lot's been said about my age, but also my experience. At least of the people who've jumped in, I'm the only one who is living a middle-class lifestyle in a middle-class neighborhood in middle America. Obviously, I am the first openly gay person to seek the Democratic nomination. But it's not just about profile. At the end of the day, this has to be about ideas. And I actually think the, let's be honest, underdog characteristics of this project are also something that's going to give us permission and a healthy pressure to be bolder than the others, to bring forward different ideas that others may hesitate to talk about if they're more established. And I think that's a healthy thing. A broad field, a wide open field, that's a good thing for newcomers. And I think it's one more sign that it's a season for a different kind of leadership.
A successful candidacy by Buttigieg would make him the first openly gay candidate to win a major party nomination.
It's a fact of life, and it's also something that has informed my experience and my approach. I mean, for one thing, the most important thing in my life, my marriage to Chasten, is something that exists by the grace of a single vote on the U.S. Supreme Court. So I'm somebody who understands, whether it's through that or whether it's through the fact that I was sent to war on the orders of the president, I understand politics not in terms of who's up and who's down or some of the other things that command the most attention on the news, but in terms of everyday impacts on our lives. And I'm also mindful of the fact that this just might make it a little easier for the next person who comes along. You know, my sincere hope is by the time our kids are old enough, once we have kids, to understand politics, that it won't even be newsworthy. And maybe that's how it is in some of the coastal cities, but not right now in Indiana.
Buttigieg says Democrats need to be thinking farther ahead than winning the next election.
When it comes to democracy, I do think there's some very specific things that we need to be looking at, from doing away with the Electoral College, which there's just not a lot of common sense justification for. Even if that requires a constitutional amendment, by the way, it was 50 years ago this year that Birch Bayh, Senator of Indiana, came pretty close to getting just such an amendment through Capitol Hill. If nothing else, beginning that conversation hopefully will remind our party of the intellectual ambition we should have. We shouldn't rule out structural reforms at a moment when it's clear that some things are just not working. We're in the District of Columbia, where there are a bunch of American citizens who have less representation than other American citizens. Although one thing I feel like I have in common with a lot of people here living in Indiana is a lot of time my vote doesn't count either, at least when it comes to the presidential politics, because of the way our democracy is configured. And it's leading to undemocratic results. In particular, it's leading to policies that most Americans don't agree with. So whether it's that or some of the things that we talk about more often, like fair districting, getting money out of politics, and whether it is legislative or constitutional, a way to make sure that access to the ballot for Americans who are eligible to vote is never tampered with, I think that needs to be at the core of our agenda.
He also says the government shutdown should never have happened.
Reopening the government should not be negotiable. They just need to open the government. And I got to say, you know, as a mayor, and, you know, we're gathering for the U.S. Conference of Mayors across the street, it is pretty puzzling that that is even something that can be contemplated. For us, if we ever shut down the government over a policy agreement, we'd be run out of town on a rail. And I hope that we can have maybe more the mentality of city leaders, cities being maybe the only level of government in the U.S. that's really functioning right now, and have Washington begin to look a little more like the community of American mayors instead of the other way around.
Buttigieg also answered some specific policy questions, starting with how to get out of Afghanistan.
What's clear is that we can't go on like this. Endless war cannot continue. And if you look at Afghanistan or a number of other places where we are operating with boots on the ground, we're operating on an authorization for use of military force from 2001, passed to deal with 9/11, when I was a teenager. So it's clear that we can't go on like this. It's also clear that you don't set foreign policy by surprising your own Pentagon with a tweet. Yes, we need to find a way out of Afghanistan. Yes, we need to make sure that any presence we have in Syria is well thought through, is targeted to protect American interests, and is not a slippery slope toward yet another piece of endless war and confrontation.
Do you have a timeline thought on finding a way out of Afghanistan?
Well, I think it has to happen as soon as there has been a negotiated solution that establishes some level of regional security. We don't want to put ourselves in a position where another generation finds itself being deployed again because of another attack, but simply staying there infinitely with no plan is not going to work, and neither is leaving with no plan.
Buttigieg did endorse a single-payer health care system.
Oh, I'm all for implementing a single-payer health care system. I also recognize that along the way to getting there, along the road to Medicare for All, maybe Medicare for More is part of how we make that happen. Or maybe in the first instance, we can do something like the all-payer rate setting that's used in Maryland to keep health care costs down while we develop something better for the long term. The bottom line is everybody should be able to get health care. And I think everybody agrees on that. I don't think we have to make it that complicated as a principle. Obviously, it's a complicated set of policy issues, but we got to start with our values and go from there.
Finally, Buttigieg talked about what went wrong for Democrats in 2016.
It felt in that race like it was all about him or it was about her. The message from my party started out as I'm with her. Then it evolved to make sure that you agree we're all against him. And a lot of people where I live were saying, okay, but what about me? And we have to have a politics that addresses us in our actual everyday lives. My county should be reliably Democratic, but it was almost 50-50. But I also know that, and I think we learned from 2016, that voters are not necessarily ideological. They don't just array all of their options on a clean left-to-right spectrum and then find the one whose dot is closest to the way they view the world. There are a lot of people in Indiana who voted for Barack Obama and Mike Pence and Donald Trump and me. So what that shows you is that people are looking for somebody who is concerned about them, and they're looking for a lot of other things that have a complicated set of overlapping thrusts. But the bottom line is you've got to center it in everyday life.
During his campaign for a second term 4 years ago, Buttigieg came out as gay in a column in the South Bend Tribune and went on to win re-election with 80% of the vote. Last year, he married his husband, middle school teacher Chasten Glesman. Buttigieg announced in December he would not seek a third term as mayor, leading to increased speculation he might try a presidential bid. Buttigieg has a book coming out next month about his life and his time as mayor in South Bend. In other news from the past week, St. Joseph County and railroad officials have identified a property here they think could be a good spot to build a new South Shore Line train station. But the South Bend Tribune reports 25 mobile homes sit on the privately owned Michigan Street property in New Carlisle, and they'd need to be moved to make room for the station. Shanna Denham, who owns a mobile home on the property, thinks they should find a better spot for the station. She and other residents say they don't want to be forced out. Denham suggests putting the station in the industrial park farther east, where the county hopes to attract businesses. If the new station is built, the South Shore Flag Stop in Hudson Lake likely would be shut down. That stop, 2 miles west of downtown New Carlisle, averages only a handful of riders per day. 14 of the units on the property are occupied. It's east of the town's American Legion post, just north of the South Shore Railroad tracks. The property is owned by Brian Woodcox, who rents out spots to mobile homeowners for $300 a month. Residents have month-to-month leases. The effort is not related to a proposal for a station in downtown South Bend. Northern Indiana Commuter Transportation District President Mike Nolan says a lot of research would need to be done before they decide whether to make a purchase offer for the mobile home property. A study is being done by the Antero Group, a South Bend engineering firm, and it will include a market assessment to evaluate if there would be enough riders to justify building the station. Although appraisals will be done in the coming weeks, it could be several months until the railroad determines whether it wants to buy the property. Some mobile home residents say they understand the economic benefits of building a train station in New Carlisle. The freeze and thaw cycles this week mean pothole season is upon us. Existing cracks could quite literally turn into bigger potholes overnight. So keep that in mind as you drive. WSBT 22's Caroline Torrey talked to NDOT spokesman Adam Parkhouse about the annual problem.
A spot that might have been fine the other day might not be fine within the next couple of days. So that's why transportation officials encourage vigilance behind the wheel. The best way to avoid costly repairs to your car due to hitting a pothole is to avoid hitting it at all. Try not to drive through puddles because those could actually be potholes in disguise. If you do see one and cannot safely steer to avoid it, it's best to try to slow down, then release the brakes before hitting it squarely. Keep your hands firmly on the wheel to prevent your car from changing direction suddenly.
Be cautious when you're driving around this time of season. Obviously, they can happen, and our crews are looking out for them. And then also, like I said, we're responsive to when customers bring them to our attention.
If damage to your car is severe enough, you may have to pay for at least some of the cost to repair it, even if you have insurance. But if you believe the city or state is responsible, you can file a tort claim.
Safety advice for avoiding and dealing with potholes for the next several months. Cold temperatures this past week revealed a lot of furnace problems across our area. WSBT 22's DJ Manu spoke with technician Joe Walker about how to avoid problems and fix them when they come up.
Techs have been running nonstop checking out failing furnaces. They say this is the time of year where homeowners will either be thankful or wish they checked their furnace before the cold came.
Terry Taylor knew something wasn't right when the temperature in his home kept dropping.
It ran, but it never got higher than 67 degrees. And then today, during the day, it got a little higher, but then it was starting to go down again.
That's why he instantly called for help. Joe Walker has had a busy day of solving problems just like this.
This is my fifth no heat today.
He says when temperatures get bone-chillingly low, furnaces work overtime.
And as cold as what it's been out, you know, the past couple days for sure, furnaces have been running the better part of every day.
Constantly running can put too much stress on a furnace.
So if there's something there to break, that's the time it's going to break. They don't break in June when they don't run at all.
In Taylor's case, it was a dirty filter, an all-too-common find for Walker today.
The majority of them have been preventable maintenance-type issues, plugged filters, clogged drain lines, dirty sensors, that kind of thing.
Walker says something as simple as a dirty filter can cause something called short cycling, where homeowners may think everything's fine.
Kicks on, the fire comes on, the fan comes on. You hear it, you feel it coming out of the vents, but then the temperature, since there's no airflow, the temperature in the furnace will get too high, and then the safety features kick in, and it'll shut the fire off, cool itself down, and then try and recycle again.
Taylor says he's relieved it was a simple fix, but both know waiting to fix it could make a bigger problem.
You've got a lot to lose if something goes wrong, I'll tell you that, and you don't want nothing to go wrong, especially in this kind of weather.
It's not safe for the people in the house, the pets in the house. It's not good for, you know, your plumbing. Plumbing can freeze if you go a long time without heat. You know, your furnaces is one of the most important things in your house. You gotta have heat to survive. So,
Walker says if people have not had their furnace checked this winter, they should make an appointment now. That way they don't get stuck in line with everyone else waiting for a technician to come when something goes wrong.
WSBT 22's DJ Manu reporting.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.